Good morning to each one, and greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to gather together in this house of worship. Thank you for those devotional thoughts there before Sunday school. And I believe I have a confession in order. I believe that this week my heart was hardened. So thank you for that devotions. I trust that God can take what He has laid on my heart and bless it. I have a little poem to read here. Some of you may recognize this poem. I'm going to take the time to read it again, and then we'll get into the message. 'Tis the set of the sails, but to every mind there openeth a way and way and a way. A high soul climbs a highway, and the low soul gropes the low. In between, on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every mind decided the way his soul shall go. One ship sails east and another west, by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that tells the way we go. Like the winds of the sea are the waves of time as we journey along through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that makes the goal and not the calm or the strife. The message of this poem recently gripped my heart again as I was going through and looking at my different collections of things that I have. And you know, Satan so often wants to convince us and to get us to believe that no one else understands. Only you, only me is facing this storm. This is something that is absolutely not common to anyone else. You are alone. No one will understand. No one will even be able to identify with where you're at. And the temptation is to become angry, bitter against God. But we've been raised in these Anabaptist settings, and so we know better than to be angry with God and bitter at Him. And so then we take it out on each other. I think of so many people that grow up in similar circumstances in life, and yet, you know, there in that third set of stanzas, it says about the selfsame wind that blows, and one ship goes east and one goes west. And in our spiritual lives, we do the same thing, and we end up, we may grow up in the same family or the same church setting, and yet as years go by, our lives get further and further apart spiritually. I think of different people in the Bible. There are so many examples of this. Cain and Abel, first two children that the Bible has recorded born. They grew up with the same parents, taught the same things. And it's okay to have different interests. It's okay to be a tiller of the ground and grow things. And it's okay to be a shepherd. There's nothing wrong with that. But spiritually, look at the difference in where those two boys ended up. Think about Jacob and Esau. Same thing. Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies. They all went through the wilderness together. They all came out of Egypt together. They all were in bondage in Egypt together. They all experienced God's miracles. They all ate manna. They all drank water out of that rock. And only Joshua and Caleb actually entered the Canaan land, into the promised land. I thought of, recently this was brought out to me, and I thought of Rahab the harlot. She and her family were the only ones saved in that city. Many of them in the city of Jericho had the same experience. Rahab experienced the same fear that the rest of the city experienced as the Israelites marched closer and closer. And yet, only Rahab had the faith to save her and her family. There are others. We talked about Paul this morning. Some, a contemporary of his era, this man may have been a little older, was Ananias the high priest, but they lived at the same time, experienced many of the same things. They were taught, perhaps in the same school, or at least in one very similar, and look at where those two men ended up. I would believe that Ananias the high priest was among those of the Israelites that fell from grace, as we talked about in Sunday school. And yet Paul was a recipient of it. Why? And then we think about our own lives right here this morning. No, we didn't all grow up under the same roof. And no, we didn't all come from the same church. We all have different church experiences. But we have the same enemy that would love for you and I to become bitter and angry against God and to reject the truth that He has for us. Many of us actually face the same things, and we don't realize it perhaps. Face the same storms. Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14 say this: Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A very familiar verse. But each one of us individuals bears the responsibility of our choices this morning. How are you and I going to set our sail for the future? I don't know much about sailing, but the little bit that I have observed, and it's not just a huge interest of mine anyway, but just the little observations I've made, it looks like it would be a lot more work to get going fast in a sailboat than it would be just to float along with the breeze. And if you're going to go against the wind, it's going to you're going to be making constant adjustments on the sail. Maybe not, every second, but you're going to be adjusting that sail over and over and over again throughout the day as you're traveling along. You know, one of the things that I compare with these verses in Matthew is it's much easier just to set your sail and float along and allow the storms to blow you whichever direction the wind is blowing, to allow the bitterness and unforgiveness just to push you whichever direction you happen to be going at that time, than it is to find the straight gate, to set the sail, to allow the circumstances that God allows into our life to drive us closer to Him. We will not enter the straight gate by mistake. We will not just happen in through the door, but it's going to take effort. You can turn to Luke chapter 17. God does not make bad things to happen, but He allows them to happen in our lives to direct us. His intent is so that the storms of life draw us nearer to Him, not push us away. But you see, you and I are in control of our will, and that will is very similar to that sail. And when I choose to become bitter and angry, unforgiving in the circumstances of life, it will drive me away from God. I just want to read 5 verses here, make a few comments, and then move to another chapter. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It was better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus is saying in verse 1, we will experience difficulties in life. We will face hurtful things. We will face offenses. We will face people, things, circumstances that offend us. It's just the reality of life. There will be things that come our way that hurt our feelings, make us angry, cause us to stumble spiritually. And one of the things that I find interesting is in the recording of the Gospels, there was people that were offended at Jesus. And Jesus was absolutely perfect in everything. And yet when he spoke the truth, and there has never been before and there has never been since, a man that was able to speak the truth in love as Jesus has. There's just nobody that has exceeded that. And yet there are people that are offended at the words of Jesus. There's something interesting to think about. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, another very familiar verse when we're thinking about forgiveness. And I want us to keep in mind that many times our unforgiveness towards people, maybe even circumstances, go much deeper than just people. I believe that the very root of it, it's an anger and a bitterness towards God. If we would follow it through, follow the roots clear through, I believe it's an anger and a bitterness against God Himself. We are all made in the likeness, in the image of God. We are representatives of God, made in His image. And so when we we're bitter and angry with each other, it really goes against God. Okay, let's start reading at verse 21 here in Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and saith, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and in children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. The same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went, cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt. That debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Back in Luke, there was two words that came up. I believe offense and offenses. I find the Greek definition of these words just very interesting and very. Just think about what they mean. The word offend would be the root word, of course, scandalizo. Where we would get our word, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it right in Greek, but it's how it looks like it should be said. That's where we get the word scandalize. It means to entrap, to trip up, to entice to sin, apostasy, displeasure. The word offenses is scandalon, where we get scandal. And this is the word that is so unique to me. It's derived from the word bow or bent, a trap stick. And I know that y'all know these things. A snare, and then in the spiritual sense, it means cause of displeasure or sin, occasion to fall. But this idea of a trap, the thought of offenses being a trap, I'm not sure quite how to get this into words, but somehow when this circumstance, this hurt, whatever comes our way, happens, it turns into a trap. Satan sets a bait. And if we don't do something with that, we get caught in a trap. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can get us out of that trap. But I have to make the choice to ask Jesus to get me out. What is forgiveness? I know that we often talk about this. Forgiveness is when we choose to pay and release the debt. When we choose to pay that debt of hurt, to pay that debt that is owed to us, and we release that person, that is what finally releases us from the trap of unforgiveness. As long as I am unwilling to forgive, I will still be in the trap of offenses. There's no way out for me. Why does God focus so heavily on forgiveness? And I think we find it in a couple reasons this morning that I want to think about. I think one of the reasons is it's very key to our salvation. He talks about that in verse 35. And we know this. We know that if we don't forgive, neither will God forgive us. And so our salvation depends on forgiveness. If you and I cannot choose to release that person, do not choose to pay that debt, neither can God forgive us. And so our very salvation depends on it. But he says, if from your hearts you forgive. I think too often we intellectually forgive. We know the consequences of unforgiveness in our own hearts, and so we tell ourselves to forgive, but it never reaches the heart. The second thought I had on unforgiveness is that we become offenders at that point. If I am not willing to forgive, to release that offense, then I become an offender. And Jesus talks pretty strongly about that part. He's like, you don't want to be the offender. In Luke, he brings a lot of condemnation on those that are offenders. And if I'm not willing to forgive this morning, then I become an offender. But what I really want to connect with in this poem is the little couple phrase that says, 'tis the set of the sails and not the gales that determine where we will go. And I think so often in life we get hung up on this little thing, well, it is the storm that makes me act the way I do. No, it's our view of God and His forgiveness that determines the direction I will go. It's not the events that happen. It's not the people that the events happen through. It's none of that. It is my response to these things that determine where I will go. I think about some time ago, I was reading through this passage again. I was thinking about what Jesus was saying here. This little story that he told of forgiveness. This little parable of this Lord. And we often think about God. We liken God to this Lord that forgave much. And I think about how, you know, through Adam and Eve, through their fall. And I don't know, I hesitate to really say this because I don't know that God can be offended. But in a sense, God was the offended party when man fell in the garden. And we know through that fall, all of us have the Adamic nature. And so, from that thought, I want you to think about God as the offended person. And now, how did God, as an offended being, how did he respond to those that offended him? He really gave us the perfect example, because we could go to John 3:16. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, but in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You and I have a debt that is impossible to pay. And we need to get a hold of that little thought, that little fact too, that there is absolutely nothing we can do in our own works, in our own righteousness, to pay that debt. But God responded with, I will send my son to die on the cross to forgive their sins. That's what the offended God did for you and me, for all of mankind. He offered a way, a payment for that debt. And now I want to think about that in relation to people that offend us, humanity that hurts us. The person that has hurt me or the person that has hurt you is in the same position to pay that debt as what you are with your debt before God. There's nothing that the offender, the person that has hurt me, there's nothing they can do, absolutely nothing they can do to pay that debt. Even coming and saying, I'm sorry, even coming and saying, you know, depending on the offense, maybe if they pay you $1 million, that's still not going to take care of that debt. The only one that can pay that debt is me. I'm the only one that can give the release. Just as God was the only one that could make a payment to release you and I from that debt of sin, as the offended person, I am the only one that can release that other person, the one that has hurt me. Nobody else can. And that is, I think that is the key, one of the keys of why the subject of forgiveness is so near and dear to the heart of God. Because if I cannot understand what I have been forgiven, then there's no way I'm going to turn around and release that person from the debt. Couple thoughts here. That I want to think about. Forgiveness is a journey. And sometimes we talk about forgive and forget. And I especially wrestle with that last one. Let's think about forgiveness is a journey. Let's say today I tell you I'm going to take a journey. I'm going to go up to Deming. And as the day goes by, I keep telling you, I'm going to go to Deming. But I never go out to my vehicle. I never move off the sofa. Well, yes, today I'm going to Deming. I'm going to go on a journey. I'm going to go to Deming. But I just stay sitting there. Do we ever get started on our forgiveness journey? I'm on a journey of forgiveness. Yes, I am. But I never move off the spot. We look at when the circumstance had happened to 5 years down the road, a month down the road, there's been no progress. If we're on a forgiveness journey, there better be progress. This little thought of forgive and forget, there is a part of that that is true. You cannot forgive and forget immediately. But I want to ask this question. Are you keeping the memory fresh? I believe if we've actually started on a forgiveness journey, we will get to a point where we forget. And maybe there will be another circumstance that brings up that memory. But there should not be the pain and the turmoil come up with it. I don't think it's reality to just be really hard on this forgive and forget. But we sure better not be keeping the memory fresh in our minds. And if we're on a forgiveness journey, we better be making progress. Or are we even on a journey? You go back to that little example I gave you about going to Deming. Finally, at some point in the day, you're going to say, Lauren, you're not on any journey. You've been telling me this all day that you're on a journey to Deming, but you're still on the sofa in your house. You're not on any journey. And I think forgiveness is the same way. there needs to be progress. There needs to be things happening. How do we set for the course of life to sail towards God? I don't have anything new. This is things we've all heard many times. Number one, we need a knowledge of God. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Just there last Sunday in Sunday school. Let's go back there again. Romans chapter 10. My first point is it's a very basic point, but we need a knowledge of God. So verses 13 and 14, this is breaking into the chapter, and I'm placing this responsibility on each one of us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We all are preachers of the gospel, but it starts with a basic knowledge of God. If we're going to set our sail right and we're going to navigate through the storms of life, we might as well count on storms because they're going to happen. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be people that misunderstand us, do not hear us, do not accept us, do not, I don't know, just all that humanity does to us. There's going to be those things in life. What is our knowledge of God? Do we believe in God? Is there a love for God? Where is our knowledge of God? And thinking about our Sunday school lesson again, I'm sorry I keep going back to that, but there's so much that connects there. I'm just not sure how to put this in words, but we need a knowledge of God. We need an understanding of God, and yet we understand we're so limited in our understanding of God. But how can we get out of this mindset of putting God in a box? We have to get out of that, and we have to think about God for who he is and understand what he has done. Come to a realization of what he has provided for us, what we have been freed from. If we don't have a basic knowledge and an understanding of that, we're going to float along in life. We're going to be angry at God. We're going to be bitter at God. We're going to be bitter and angry and unforgiving to those around us. Another verse in, you don't have to turn here, but 2 Timothy 2:15, we all should know this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. You know, it takes a workman. It takes somebody willing to work to set their sail towards God. We will not find God by carelessly floating along with whatever direction the wind blows. It just won't happen. It takes study. It takes effort. And in the realm of forgiveness, there are times, there are days where we come back to that place again and again, or we need to just hold on to the facts that no, I release this person. I release this event. I am willing to pay this debt. We forgive from the heart. It's an emotional forgiveness. It's not just this intellectual thing that we have up here because we don't want to get in trouble in later in life. But that's why Jesus told Peter, it's going to be 70 times 7. There are storms that are that bad that you're just not going to carelessly, oh, yep, I've forgiven and move on. It's going to take work and it's going to take effort. But as we said, forgiveness is a journey. And over time, there is progress, there's change. Number two, how do we set our sails towards God is by faith. And I'm just going to turn here to Hebrews 11. You can as well, if you wish. I'm not going to read very many. But this chapter is a chapter that's a great source of confidence and encouragement to me. But in verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you and I are going to sail towards God, and we're going to allow the storms of life, the difficulties, the circumstances that not a single one of us want to go through, and yet God calls us to go through them or allows them to happen, it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith that God has a plan, that God is in control, and that God is directing. One of the key phrases here is that it is impossible to please God without faith. And do you believe this morning that a diligent search for him, that there will be a reward of that? And this chapter is full of people. I mentioned a few of them that are in here already, but this chapter is full of people. And you get towards the end, from verse 32 on, he kind of just goes into events that happened, and he doesn't even name the people. Verse 32, he has some names, but then from there on, 33 on, he doesn't even mention names. It's just circumstances that happened. Just to bring one of those out, if I can lay my eyes on it, I think verse 37, it talks about they were sawn asunder. One of the prophets, that's how he died. He was literally cut in half. Talk about rejection of your own people. They're that angry at you, they want to cut you in half. But you even go through a lot of these others. They did not face an easy life. They faced rejection. They faced pain. And there were also people in their times that faced the same thing, and they allowed that circumstances to propel them away from God. And yet these people allowed it to propel them towards God. They did not become angry and bitter at God. Number 3, how do we set a course of life to sail towards God? Turn to John 14, and that is keeping God's commandments. John chapter 14. And it's more than just keeping a ritual observance of keeping God's commandments. John 14, verse 15, he starts out with, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Along with keeping God's commandments, there must be a love for God, a deep love for what God has done. Verse 23, Jesus answers and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Sailing through life, you know, God gives us this. If you want to talk about sailboats, God gives us the instructions on how to run our sailboat right here in the Word of God. He gives us commandments. He gives us the course. You know, back in the day, they didn't have GPS, and so they used the stars and all that stuff, which is way beyond me. But God gives that in his word, a way to chart our course towards him. But we need to choose to live it, to follow his commandments. Just some more verses here. John 15, next chapter over, verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Just a number of verses right here in John that talk about keeping God's commandments. God has a set way that he wants us to sail towards him. He has a set of instructions for us to follow. And those are just three basic things that can help us set our sail towards Him. It's not all-inclusive. Could have looked at many other things in the Scripture. But I just want to end these little thoughts here this morning. And why do I speak on forgiveness? Because life happens and life moves on. We get through one storm and we will find ourselves in another storm. And I need reminded, I believe we all are like the children of Israel. From time to time we need reminded just how important forgiveness is. Because I really believe that unforgiveness towards each other is actually directed as unforgiveness towards God. But let me read a couple ending lines here. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that tells the way we go. And 'tis the set of the soul that makes the goal and not the calm or the strife. We inherited the great ability, the great weakness from our forefathers to cast blame. And so many times in life, each one of us want to blame our circumstances, blame the people around us for the hard things in life. But I think we can look around and we can find current day examples of people that use difficult things in their life to propel them towards God. And it's not because they are just some special people or something special. It comes down to a very basic principle. It's the way they have set their sail. And you and I have that choice today as well. We can set our sail to go towards God or away from God. Let's kneel for prayer.